Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality. Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality with your host, Global Happiness Specialist and Inner Peace Practitioner, Oracle Student Teacher. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing the show. A lot of new connections. I'm meeting. There's so many new listeners. The show is growing organically, and I appreciate every single one of you. I really, really do. And thank you for sharing the show. Happiness specialist, who the hell, what is she, who the hell does she think she is? Well, I know. Well, when I say happiness specialist, when I was younger, I wanted two things. I wanted to live to my potential. I didn't have a clue as to what that meant or what that looked like. And I wanted to be happy. And like most programmed humans, I thought that this being happy came after I accomplished something, my goals, after I had titles behind my name, after I had a certain amount of money and endless supply of money in my bank account, a good health, relationship, all of that came, all of that was supposed to make me happy, bring me happiness, correct? No, wrong. What I found is, what I discovered is, happiness is a practice skill. Happiness is a practice skill. And with that, the happiness that I'm talking about has nothing to do with what happens to you, has nothing to do with anything external. The happiness, what I mean is, it is a vibration. Happiness is an energy, it's a vibration. It is a state of mind. It is a feeling. When I say a feeling, it is a feeling inside every cell of your body. It's an identity. It's who you are, regardless of what happens in your life. My definition of happiness is the ability to be, the ability to vibrate, the ability to have the energy of peace, regardless of what happens. And regardless of what doesn't happen. And today is going to be a different kind of show. I know I introduce myself every show, maybe for about 10, 15 minutes, just for the new listeners. But I'm going to skip some of that and get right into this dedication, because this life and death, you know, death is a part of life. And the acceptance of death, with a peaceful vibration, with a peaceful energy behind it, is not taught, is not often practiced, is not even discussed. The book that I'm writing now, called Program for Unhappiness, the programming about death is, you know, you can tell it's a program when people come up with the same sentences, the same words when someone that you know or they know died. I'm sorry for your loss. You have my condolences. It is the same. It's a script. I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. I'm not making any judgment. But death can teach us, especially if there's someone that you know and you love, or someone that you're connected to, or someone that you're acquainted with, death can teach us a lot about life and how to live. Death can teach us how to live. And there's a gentleman on YouTube. He had his own YouTube channel. His name was Kevin Samuels. And I say was Kevin Samuels because 2 days ago he died. And it was a sudden death. He had a heart attack, and he was a very contentious. When I say contentious, he had a lot of supporters, and then he had a lot of people that hated on him. kind of like someone that I know. A lot of supporters and a lot of people that didn't support him. And when I say haters, I really mean people that that on the internet after his death were, I don't even want to say it, but were celebrating someone else's death. Now, what does that mean? No judgment here, but what I'm saying is your energy and your vibration says a lot about who you are, gives a description. I don't need to know your name. I don't need to know your titles. I don't need to know your job description. Your behavior in every moment shows how peaceful you are, and you only know a person when they're challenged. It's really easy to smile and be at peace and be happy and cool, and when the sun is out and the birds are singing, the flowers are blooming. But when you're challenged by health issues, relationship issues, financial issues, death, that's when it becomes real. And this gentleman, and let me just say that I didn't agree. Of course, I didn't agree with everything that he said, or what he was teaching, or even how he was teaching. But one of the practices is, especially if you want to feel or be at peace with self, not with the world, but with self, be at peace with that person in the mirror. Acceptance is the practice. Acceptance of self allows you to be accepting of others, even and especially when they don't agree with you, especially when they are on the opposite side of the fence. And that acceptance, you know, I've said this forever, the sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. The sun shines on the serial killer and the Pope. So the acceptance is something that isn't really practiced, especially when we don't scratch the we, especially when I don't agree with someone else. It's becoming a lot easier. Let me get back to my dedication. This man had a heart attack. It was all unexpected. 2 days ago, I believe it was Wednesday night, either Wednesday night or early Thursday morning. And it was interesting because he had I think it was 1.4 million followers on his YouTube. You can Google him or go to any of his YouTube videos, Kevin Samuels. It's easy to find. But the curious thing that happened after his death, the people that hated him came out celebrating his death. There isn't anything wrong with that either for them. But if you are serious about wanting to experience more peace along the journey, and if you're serious about how to be at peace with everything that happens externally, then the practice is, I'm really choosing my words because I'm choosing my words because there's just so many people that are not at peace. And you can feel and you can tell that they're not at peace by what angers them. And you can tell they're not at peace by what annoys them. And you can tell they're not at peace by the evidence, by what they say about others. Let me get back to the big question of the day. The big question of the day is, what would you change if you knew you only had one more, if you knew you only had one more day to live? What would you change if you knew you only had one more day to live? What would you change if you knew you only had one more day to live? Only you can answer that. Would you change anything? Would you make phone calls? Would you connect to people that you necessarily don't speak to now? And I want to challenge you to whatever you would change or whatever you would do differently or do different, do it today. Do it now. One of the reasons, both of my parents are dead, and one of the reasons, and you know, if you've listened to the show, you know I've spoken a lot about my relationship with my father and my relationship with my mother and how, I mean, I've talked about it a lot. The ups and downs, the challenges, back and forth. Especially with that mother. This is Mother's Day, especially with the mother. You know, if you've listened, you know that in 2018 when my mother died, I found out she gifted the family house to the handyman. Bam! But one of the things that I have to share is, even at her death, or when I found out that she died, not to say that I didn't grieve, not to say that I wasn't sad, not to say that I didn't cry, but there was a sense of peace with her death, and not about her death, but my relationship with her. And that's all I'm saying. There are no awards for inner peace. There are no awards for personal growth. There are no plaques given, trophies given for personal growth. And it is work. It's not easy to look in the mirror for solutions. It's not easy to look in the mirror and not blame someone else or the circumstances for how you're feeling. This work is not easy. I got my left hand up right now. It's not. When I say happiness is a practice skill, the practice is, in every moment, what decisions, what choices are you making? If you only had one more day to live, and I'm very serious with this question, what would you do? Would you do anything different? Would you change anything? Would you contact anyone? You know, those people that don't talk to for whatever reason, holding a grudge, angry, whatever the reason is. Would you change anything? I urge you, challenge you to change it today. And now I'm going to have a little mini breakdown. Not a breakdown, but just change it today. And what are you prioritizing? What is important? What is, and that's only And only the individual listening can give me can answer that. So it's coming back to self and asking, what is important to you? What are your priorities? The number to call in, I have a few people in the queue, the number to call in to speak with me live or ask your questions or to contribute to the show is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. Let me get right to the call. Is this my buddy? Hold on a second. Let me go to this call. You are live, area code 919. Is this Robert?
It sure is. I hope I'm your buddy.
You are my buddy. Oh, my gosh. Now I'm just going to be boo-hooing all over again. You are my buddy. You've been my buddy for I don't know how long. And we've never even met, but we have met.
Not in person, and not in real time, as they say.
Yes.
But, you know,
yes.
There may be a
question,
day.
Robert.
You never know.
I have a question. I have a question for you. Did you know who Kevin Samuels was?
I did not. No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, he was.
So,
he
and
was
I don't.
Really
I've never seen.
Yeah, he was a
I'm
really
sorry.
Contentious. Go ahead.
No, I mean.
Hello?
From what you described, it sounds like a very interesting guy. Energy.
Very interesting with. And one of the things that he did that I really, and I use this word, this label, respect, or you know, people that come out and speak from their soul and just honesty and just pour it all out, regardless of whether or not other people agreed with them or other people, I mean, talk about haters. He had so much venom thrown at him, and just the ability to stay true to who he was, whether I agreed with everything that he said or not. I like truth coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And so what would you share when I ask this question? So I'm going to ask you, my dear Robert, what would you change, if anything, if you knew you only had a day left to live?
And actually the answer is nothing different. And I'll tell you why. About 2 days ago, I was out walking and came across a neighbor whose name is Bob, walking his dog. And then, of course, how are you? And he's normally a very upbeat kind of guy. He's probably in his mid to late 70s. Anyway, he looked real sad, and I said, okay. So I come to find out his dog is going to be put down next week because she is, like, super, super, super ill. So that was a real sad thing. And then as we were talking, he mentioned that his sister was battling some cancer, and he said, "But I know that one. I know that one very well." And the first time I found out after a couple of years that he has advanced cancer, and his comment was to me is, "You know, any day it could be any day," and so I live every day, you know, to its fullest. And so anyway, that keeps popping in my head, So I went and took a photo of him and his dog and added it and framed it and, you know, gave it. Because, you know, when he passes, his wife, Kathy, will, I'm sure, like that, you know, as well. So, but it was important. And I could tell for him, for living in the moment, that was a good moment, you know. And I think, that, you know, we all have the ability to do that, so. Anyway, that was my story.
Well, first of all, I love that story. And see, I don't look at a lot of things online, but there are people that are going through with the cancer or any kind of, quote, serious illness, all of that. And there are ways, there's a vibration, and no judgment here, but there's a vibration of this is part of life, this is what I'm going to do, I'm a survivor, I'm going to keep fighting. And then there are others that are very... have a different perspective about it, and it actually takes them out of the game of life, if that makes sense.
I understand what you're saying, and there are those who are, fight to the bitter end kind of people. But then you said it earlier, peace, peacefulness, there comes a time that, if it's going to be any time, you want it to be peaceful. I mean, it would make the transition much more flow, a better flow. But anyway, most people I would think would prefer a peaceful passing. So so why not be in a peaceful state about, living for the moment, living peacefully. And it's not that you aren't fighting. I mean, well, what you're doing is you're allowing nature, kind of to take its course on your terms. That's my personal opinion.
When you were speaking, I was getting chills. My body was chilling up, and you just reminded me of what I used to say a lot is, I don't need to feel peaceful to be peaceful, to vibrate peace. Why do I even rely on my feelings to be peaceful? This is a deep internal, deep foundation, and my inner being knows the truth. I'm not my ego. I'm not my body. I'm not what my ego thinks. My inner self knows, and nothing has to be right outside externally in order for me to feel right and be at peace. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes. That is very true. For some people, kind of living life without medical intervention is a peaceful way for them for their journey. And for some people who fight, fight like hell, I mean, most likely that's their very essence. So, I mean, and you wouldn't expect them to change, their essence, at that particular moment. And then that's okay, and that's okay too, because that's what makes them peaceful.
And now you're bringing up another point, which you've heard me say a million times. We are as different as our fingerprints, and it's that it's really about accepting all of our differences. And one of the things that I learned this week, I would just love to share this with you. I watched because you've known me. You know me. And I watched a really, really bad – I didn't watch all of it, but I taped – a really, really bad movie, and it was called Con Air. It's about old, and it was on TV, and I just taped it for some reason. Well, I already know the universe always inspires me. Con Air with Nicolas Cage. That's when Nicolas Cage was well. First of all, he's a great actor, and that's when he was hot with Face Off and all. I mean, he was a really good looking guy, and he was in prison with all of these horrible murderer, rapist, pedophile guys, and so they were being transported on this big prison. It was a prison plane, right? Prison plane,
right?
Transported from one place to another, and I kept fast forwarding because it was just so much gruesomeness in it. I didn't really watch all that, but there was. Did you drop something?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes.
No, that's okay.
I'm out on my walk. Sorry.
Of course you are. Reality, spirituality. But there was this one quote And I needed to hear it, Robert. I needed to hear it. And it was quoted by the pedophile, and he was talking about some of the prisoners. He was talking about a really angry man, and he said, I should probably read it because I'm going to mess it up. Well, let me find it really quick. It's on my phone. I actually had to. Hold on a second. Hold on. I got to take this Face ID off. I have, because I took a photo of it. I have to read this quote that I learned, and you just reminded me. Okay. He was talking about one of the prisoners that was, you know, mass murderers, killed 100 people, and he says, this man is so angry that moments of levity actually cause him pain. Moments of levity give him headaches, and happiness for that gentleman hurts.
Yeah.
You know me.
It's hard to, I know,
I'm
it's
a,
hard to
well,
fathom, but
I used to think that, yeah, who doesn't want to be happier, feel happier? And it was such an eye-opening quote. This man, he says, he's so angry that moments of levity actually cause him pain, give him headaches. Happiness for that gentleman hurts. So that just brought in my acceptance of that there are people that don't necessarily care about, want to, even wouldn't even want to feel better. And for me, that has to be, the practice is of acceptance of that is now even more. I mean, my practice of acceptance is even broader, if you will. Happiness hurts.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, listen to the birds. I hear the birds.
Oh, yeah, that's a cardinal that's kind of up in the tree there. But
yes,
you know,
I hear him.
Yeah. That's the one thing, you know, and it kind of goes back to your programming aspect, you know, about how people are programmed, you know, and if, you know, sometimes, you know, happiness is painful. I mean, it's particularly if you associate pain or anger or any of those as love, then, you know, it's kind of, it makes it hard to break free. So there are people who go through that when they're young and decide this isn't me, this isn't who I want to be, and then they do that pursuit of happiness, discovery of happiness, you know. But then there are some who, for whatever reason, choose to live the same plot, you know, kind of the same scene of their life, you know, over and over, because they know it, you know. For to move on, like, oh my God, what lies ahead?
Well, let me ask you this question. Can robots make choices? I know it's out there. Well, we all have a choice, but does a robot really have a choice? Does a robot have a choice?
Okay, it depends on what you mean by choice. I think robots can be programmed to make choices.
Yeah, a robot. Go ahead.
I'm going to say they can be programmed to make decisions based on their quote knowledge. You know, what's in there. In my opinion, you know. So I think though that the idea of free will or, you know, choice. In that sense, I don't think so. But then again, you know, as I'm sitting here thinking, really, all of us are, you know, programmed like a robot. So, you know, in many
ways.
Well,
and that's my point. And that's my point. The programming is so deep. The programming is so deep. So if one of my practices, what I do is, okay, is this the truth, or is this a program? Is this something that I learned, or is it a program? Even from the definition of what is success or a relationship. One of the things, I was talking to my best friend this morning, and this is what came out of me. I'm so glad that you called in, and I wasn't even going to share this on this platform right now, but this is what came out of me. I was telling him that I had this romanticized idea of what a relationship, because we're talking about, you know, people getting divorced and why the divorce, and I had this romanticized relationship of what, romanticized idea of what a relationship looked like, and it started with Cinderella. Cinderella and the prince, and I can name you every single movie and every, well, not maybe not, can't remember all of them, but there are so many movies and so many television shows that had me programmed to believe what a relationship was, quote, supposed to look like, and what my husband or my partner or my boyfriend was supposed to do and was supposed to act like, from the love story. I started with Cinderella. Mm-hmm. From love, remember the movie Love Story?
Oh, of course. Of course. love means never
love
having
story.
To say you're sorry.
Yeah. Serendipity, Pride and Prejudice. I mean, the one with Maleficent, the one with Angelina Jolie, and
yeah.
I mean, all of these movies. I was programmed to, I mean, deeply, deeply, deeply programmed as to what a relationship is supposed to look like and feel like. And I remember thinking, well, this doesn't feel like a movie. This doesn't feel like a movie. Of course, this is decades ago. But the programming is so deep, and so recognizing the programming is number one.
Right. Yeah. You know, the thing is that, you know, as we were going through those experiences, all of those ideas and perspectives were almost universally promoted, you know, in the sense that we were bombarded from every, you know, every walk of life and you know, from school to, you know, to TV, to family outings, all kinds of things. So, I think it gets to the down to the point of, like, when you're initially asked about, you know, what would you do differently if today was the last day, is, you know, living that, you know, as close to possible. And you know, and it's been interesting because throughout the last few days, that's popped into my head often. And then it would cause me to be aware of what I'm doing. For this, you know, a lot of times I do things out of rote, you know, just kind of without really thinking. But it gets me to that point of recognizing what I'm doing. And it has, on a few occasions, had me change what I was doing to doing something different.
Mm.
It was still on my agenda, you know, to do, but it kind of got bumped up. So, but anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really – do you have a minute? I want to share one more story with
you. Sure.
I want your perspective of this, on this. So I was out to on lunch with people I didn't know. I mean, I was just introduced to this group maybe about a month ago, and they were all women. And this one was a mother and a daughter. Now, the mother was 92, and the daughter was probably, I don't know, in her 50s or maybe early 60s. And so another daughter, who is this daughter's sister, died that morning. So this was a brunch that, you know, of maybe six women, and the mother-daughter just got news that morning that a daughter died. You know, the mother's another, I don't know how many daughters she had, but one of her daughters died. Now, this daughter that died, because, you know, they're sharing the story, the daughter that died was always a quote-unquote problem daughter. She's been married five times. And I'm not exaggerating. Five times. You know, man to man to man, drugs and all this kind of stuff. So for the mother and the daughter, it was, I mean, I could feel the energy. It was relief. She, you know, they knew that there was, and they expect, in fact, one of the mom said, I thought she'd be dead 10 years ago. You know, that kind of thing. So there was a relief to it.
Right.
And the lady that hosted the breakfast lunch, when she heard that this person died, which she did not know, but she has this programming about death, she put her head. Nobody in her family died. She's just hearing the news. She put her head down on the table. It was as if the news about someone's death was being delivered to her. She put her head down on the table, and she looked up and she says, "Oh, I'm so sorry," with that kind of energy. And the mom said,
right.
Well, you know, hey, I was expecting this 10 years ago, and I'm just watching this. I'm just witnessing all of this. And the sister said the same thing. You know, shit, she was a pain in the ass. She was an asshole. Hey, good riddance. You know, that kind of thing. Good riddance.
Uh-huh.
But the host could not let go. She says, because the host, her husband is in hospice right now, so it could be months from now, maybe even weeks. And so her response to death is head on table. Oh no, no judgment here, just describing. And what the hell is my point? My point is the programming is so deep that is there another way for anyone to choose to react? And I say, unless you are recognizing it and you're not a robot, no, you can't react other than any other way than that you're programmed to react. What's your take on
right.
it?
I agree with you. And, you know, and the
what?
Interesting.
Hold on a second. Hold on. I got to write this down. Did you hear that?
Sure.
Did you hear? He agrees with me. No, I'm just joking. Go ahead.
Rebecca, you are correct. Again. No. Well, you know, the thing is, you're right that they would only be able, their response would be based on their experience and their programming and, you know, everything else, you know, with it. What I find interesting about the story is, number one, your awareness of the variety of responses to that event, to the death. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not surprised that you noticed it because you're very observant. But for the other people who maybe aren't as aware,
conscious,
of,
the word conscious, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
conscious, okay, of behavior and the difference in behavior and acceptance of the difference of behavior. I know for
mm-hmm.
some people, it takes a dramatic a dramatization of event, like her putting her head on the table and doing all of that. You know, I would, you know, whatever they say, you know, on TV, this is a dramatization. You know, that would, to me, would be, you know, kind of like what she was doing. But it brings attention to everyone else around of the different perspectives. So, you know, and then what happens is they're going to end up thinking, now which one do I, you know, where am I in this? You know, kind of thing. And that's a good thing for people then to start questioning where they are. If they're not, you know, already, if they're already happy with what their choices are, where they are, that kind of thing. So they may just brush it off. But then again, there may be some people who will want to question. So, and that's a good thing. So... And all of that wouldn't have happened if she hadn't put her head down on the table.
Her head down, and then she had a conversation, you know, because again, I said her husband is in hospice, so she said, well, when Mike goes,
okay.
I want you to be there for me. And so I contend, and I would bet $100. That the woman that put her head down on the table would not only let me say this, would not want to change, would not want to change that response, is comfortable
right.
with that response. And if I threw my two cents in and said, well, you know, there's different ways to perceive death, and that's just one way, and you can do it another way, she would probably look at me and no, thank
Which
you.
Which planet are you from?
Exactly,
yeah.
And not want it. In other words, this programming becomes
right.
so deep ingrained that it becomes part of who they are, and you try to rip the program out or even expose the program, they're not interested.
Yeah, well, it's defensive. You know, I mean, they're rock solid in their belief and their point of view, and anybody else trying to change them otherwise would be, just wrong. I mean, like, how dare you? And as a matter of fact, you ought to change your belief to match
mm-hmm.
mine. You
mm-hmm.
know, that kind of thing.
And I would say yes to all of that. The only thing that I have, the only thing that I would challenge is that if you have children, I don't care who you are, mm-hmm. mother, father, if you have children, then know that your children are watching how you respond to death. And know that you are teaching your children, knowing that you're teaching your children how to respond to your death, hopefully, if, you know, when you go first before the child. That you, and because that's another thing with me. You teach your, you're a lone person, fine. But now you have children then that pick it up, and that's what started me on my own journey. You know that story.
Yeah. Well, you know, and as a parent, you know, you have a responsibility, you know, because you're providing, you know, providing input in the most formative years, you know, and those are the tapes that are going to be hardest to change, you know, later in life if there's a desire for that. So,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, as a parent, then, you know, it's a tough, especially in today's world. I mean, it is a very difficult job. But I know a good number of parents that are just, you know, they do their best, you know, and they let their kids
That's
know,
right.
and there's, you know, communication and that kind of thing. And so anyway, yeah.
Right, right. Well, we're all, one of the things I do know, and you're right, we all are doing our best, including myself. At any particular moment, I am doing the best I can in any
mm-hmm.
particular moment. And I want to say,
yep.
if you are interested, you know, this Kevin Samuels, I mean, he's just so contentious with his beliefs and what he was sharing.
Now I have to check it out.
It was mostly for the black community, and critics and detractors, and but still his intention, and his intention was to bring the black community together with the families and saying, hey, there's something wrong here. Yeah, so you know, it was a trailblazer. He said things that no one wanted to hear. Not scratch that, no one, but not a lot of people wanted to hear.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, you know, and that's and just the idea of being contentious and having, you know, that what that does is that really gets people stirred up. It gets the emotions going, and you know, and you kind of. When emotional is when the time is to be able to learn a lot about yourself. So anyway, you know, those that were, you know, quote haters, you know, they became more solid in their belief, which was contrary to what he was espousing. And then there are those that loved it, which is quite right in line with that. But, you know, but the bottom line is you kind of look at what the content was, and if the content is eliciting such high emotion in both ends of the spectrum, it kind of makes you wonder if that isn't something that we really need to spend a whole lot more time in learning about, you know, each other and that kind of thing. So,
Well, let me throw this in, and then I'm going to because one of the things that I talk about, if something is pushing your buttons, and I'm using myself as an example. Let me just say me. If something is pushing my buttons, then that means that there's something that I need to do more research on, and it's something that I can do a deep dive on, that I can look in the mirror. Why is that bothering me? Why is that annoying me? Why am I being triggered? That the thing with the triggers and the button pushing, that's all my responsibility. It's not who's talking. It's me. I have to go back to the person in the mirror. I'm not going to blame this person. No. What do I need to learn? What do I need to do? What do I need to discover? It always comes back to the person in the mirror. It's never, if something offending me, really offending me, well, then let's see what is really going on inside of me. It's not them. That's what I practice. You know me.
And while you were talking all about it, before you said the word triggered, I did a post, I think, a few days ago, a picture, and someone had indicated that it brought back memories of like a grandmother's garden or something like that. Anyway, and when I was going to respond to that, it was really nice that it did that, but I started to use the word triggered, that it triggered that memory. And I thought, no, I don't really want to use that word. So I said that brought forth that great memory, you know, and so, but yeah, I mean, literally did that a couple of days ago, was trying to be very conscious of my wording, and when triggered that kind of response.
Okay, so now you're bringing up a whole nother can of worms where you're talking about, I'm just going to speak for myself. Do I have the power to make somebody feel good or bad? Do I have the power to make somebody feel happy or sad? And my answer is always absolutely not. I'm not taking on anyone else's feelings. I know that they may point the finger at me, they may blame me, they may say it's because of the words that I use, but I know the truth, and the truth is that your feelings are your responsibility, and nothing I can do and or say. You know, you've heard that. I don't know if you listened to the one where that one man that insulted me to the highest height. Did you hear that one? Walter O'Brien?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my gosh. Okay,
no,
this is the last one. This is the last one. I went to this marketing event in September 21. Oh, you're going to love this. Well, maybe you won't. Who knows? and it was a marketing event, marketing networking, that's what it was. And so there were a lot of very prominent people there. I mean, billionaires, millionaires. This one guy, you know, the owner of Priceline, the creator of Priceline. I mean, it went on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were speakers. And this one guy, his name was Walter O'Brien. You can Google him. He's worth $50 million, 197 IQ. He is the inspiration for the CBS television show Scorpion because he's so bright. Supposedly stopped terrorists in the unit. Do you remember that one? Do you know who he is?
I like that show. No, I like that show.
Okay. So it was fashioned. It was fashioned by this guy Walter O'Brien, and I met him. And 50 million, I already said 50 million, 197. So I don't know why, but I've never met anybody with 197 IQ, so I wanted to meet them. And the speakers made themselves available. Oh, I can't wait to tell you this. And made themselves available. So the last night I tapped him on the shoulder and I said, Mr. O'Brien, I would like to talk to you. Sure, no problem. Did I say he was worth $50 million? Okay, never mind. And he drives, you know, bulletproof Hummers, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I would like to introduce myself. My name is Rebecca Norrington, and I am a happiness specialist. And before I finished my sentence, he looked at me and he said, I would never hire you in any of my companies because what you do is toxic. He said, and I said, toxic? A happiness specialist. I started laughing, and I said, please tell me more. He said to my face, we were 3 feet away from each other, he says, I wasted 35 years of my life studying and pursuing happiness. He told me I contributed, and I, because, you know, I wrote an article about it. I've contributed zero to this planet. My search for happiness and inner peace is delusional. What I've accomplished can't be measured. Therefore, I've accomplished nothing. That was one of my favorites. He said I was selfish. I already said toxic. And he said, if the clients I counsel don't employ at least 1,000 individuals, I'm wasting my time and accomplishing nothing. Now, yeah.
Yes, now, a rather strong self-image, doesn't it?
No, I loved it. I loved it because everything that I talk about, happiness is a practice skill, it came up to words. His words innately do not have power. Anything that he said to me did not, it was Teflon. Nothing that he said was personal. I knew that whatever he was describing me, however he described me, he was really describing himself. He could only come up with one perspective. And then, of course, my famous, what does the man with the hump in his back want more than anything else? He wants you to have a hump, too. But I had the best time chatting with him, and I took a selfie with him. And it was it was one of my most memorable evenings ever. And so I say happiness is a practice skill, I mean that. It was a blessing and a gift that that the universe put him in my life for me to exercise what I practice, and the practice works.
Right. And to recognize that, I mean, first of all, I feel so sad that after all of that time he wasn't able to find happiness. You know, to me that's the sad part of the story, you know what I mean, is that, you know, I mean, that is his experience. That has been his life experience. But,
Well, I'm not even, you know me, I don't use labels, but I think that this gentleman is right on track because he's not sad. Well, scratch that.
But,
cause I don't know what he is. I don't know what he is. Scratch that, because I don't know what he is. But
to have had such a long journey seeking it through many different, so several different avenues that he mentioned, and not being able to find it. To me, it's like if you are happy with what you are, you're not going to seek happiness. You're going to be happy. You know what I mean? And so. For him, it was, he obviously, if he was seeking it, he didn't have it, you know, and he's gotten to the point where it's been so long that he just doesn't believe it exists, you know what I mean? Or that if anybody exhibits happiness, it's a facade of some sort. It's not a reality.
Well, I'm not even going to, you know me, I'm not in anybody else's business about that. But whatever it was a great night for me.
It affirmed your beliefs. Not that they needed it, but it's still nice every now and then to get affirmation of, you know, of your journey, of what you're doing, what you're working at, and what you want to achieve. So, you know, and it's always good to get a nice, oh, yeah, thank you for noticing kind of thing.
Yeah, thank you, universe. All the practicing is paying off, even though I don't have my my certificate or my award or my trophy or my parade yet. No, I don't need any of that. You know, I'm just joking. Well,
I
just want to say thank you so much for being a part of the show today and just jumping on and celebrating this day and this Mother's Day with me. I just always appreciate you and any time you call in, I really love when you raise your hand. Oh, yay! I love our discussion. Always.
Oh,
thank you so much, Robert.
I appreciate talking to you. All right, great. Happy Mother's Day to you. And I'm
Thank
sure
you.
Nate had something in store. So.
Well, I don't do the whole obligation thing with him, so he did
oh,
text me a little.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he did, yeah. And in fact, I even came up with, this is about a month ago, you know, I said, you know what, we need to do a show together, Nate. No. Now I need something for him. Nope. I had to let that go. I had to let go of anything I need or obligate because I'm very conscious of whatever he wants to do is okay, even if it's nothing.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Well, happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for chatting with me. I appreciate it.
Yes. I appreciate you. You know I do always. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Have a good day. Well, what a great contribution. I love when Robert Sharp calls in. And you can find him. Just Google him. Bite Me Radio. He has his own show, and he has guests come on. And I really enjoy his input anytime he calls in. Well, that's the end of today's show. But before I get to the end of today's show, so the question comes back. The question is, again, what would you change, if anything? Robert said he wouldn't change anything. What would you change, if anything, if you found out that you only had one more day to live? And I'm going to agree with him. I wouldn't change not one thing. I may take a trip and to California to be with the people that I am closest to. That would be different. But other than that, I mean, physically be with them. But other than that, I wouldn't change anything. And again, this journey of looking in the mirror and feeling and feeling or having an energy of satisfaction, having an energy of the vibration of satisfaction in every moment. That's what Robert was talking about, having a vibration of satisfaction. There is a vibration of satisfaction. You're either vibrating being satisfied in the moment or not. Either you're vibrating satisfied or you're not. But it is about the moment, and it is about the present moment. And thank you so much for listening. I cannot wait until next week's show. I don't know why I'm saying that, because I never do, but I'm so excited. I'm ready to burst. Thank you for listening to Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness. Until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember who you are. You are a physical extension of the universe, your conscious energy, which is always evolving, always changing, always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself by accepting yourself in every moment. Be your own best friend and remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It is about the journey. It is about every moment. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality, The Truth About Happiness with yours truly, global happiness specialist and inner peace practitioner, oracle, teacher, student. Happiness is a practice skill, and I promise you, the more you practice, the more peace, a.k.a. happiness, you will find. Your experience in every moment reflects on what you practice in every moment. Have a conscious week. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Good now.
Get real.